running out. You don't even like me anymore. Give me a reason why. Give me a good reason.
From their brand new self-titled album, that is the UK band Amoeba Teen with A Good Reason Why here on the Viva La Mock radio program. And before that, some Martin Briley by request with The Salt in My Tears from 1983. Wonderful request. If you have a suggestion for a request, you got to shoot me an email at wrctrequest@gmail.com. Or if you're listening to a non-encore presentation, so not this show, but you're listening to my live show on a Friday night, you can call me up at 412-268-WRCT. My name is Paul. I am the Mockster. Hey, speaking of oldies, well, is 1983, that's an oldie, right? That's almost 40 years old. But if we even go back further for oldies, do you want a show that plays that? Maybe mixes in some new stuff? And then on top of that, layers of film of snark? Do you want to listen to a radio show that sounds like that? I know. You are listening to that radio show. It's Viva La Mock. No. There's one that's even better. It's Radio 9 with Uncle Jay Thurber. Say, okay, Boomer, which is weird because he's actually a Gen Xer, but still, just call him Boomer. And listen to his radio show. Yeah, it's Saturdays here on Independent Freeform Radio. Again, Radio 9. Each and every Saturday from noon until 3 on WRCT. And streaming. Yeah, streaming too. You can find us streaming WRCT.org. Again, my name is Paul. This has been a show called Viva La Mock. Appreciate it when you listen. I'm wrapping things up for this encore presentation. But again, you can always catch a live show Friday nights at 9. Exclusively on 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh. As always, thanks for listening.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
You've tuned in to Pandemonium, a public affairs program from WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT or Carnegie Mellon University. Email comments or questions to WRCT Public Affairs, PA@WRCT.org. And now, Pandemonium!
Back in 2022, before the final revolution, there was a podcaster named Barb who had a tough guy machine with a Scottish accent.
Welcome, folks. It's good to have you back for the latest podcast episode of Burst Your Bobble. I'm your host, Barb from the Berg, and this here is Dude.
Hey, hope everyone's chilling in the Berg.
I'm not chilling. I'm here to burst open those annoying bobbleheads. You know the ones I mean. Come on. Who's bothering you? The busybody next door spying on you again? The mansplainer in the cube across from you telling you something you already know? Call me right now and tell me about it. A lot of callers having problems. Let's bring our first caller on the air. Please state your name, your problem, why I should care, and what you expect me to do about it.
This is Sellett, your corporate lawyer. Please answer your phone when I call you. We are being sued for $20 million because of you.
Life of a podcaster. Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
How about these fancy new podcast chairs, dude?
Sweet ride. Plenty of cushion, special pull-out drink holder.
It's all programmable, hooked into the network, even has heated seats. There's the haves, then the have-mores. Am I right? Okay, dude, connect to the next caller, please.
How do I...
Dude, that's your job! You just press that button and... just let me do it. Next caller, please state your name, your problem, why I should care, and what you expect me to do about it.
Hi, I'm Melissa. I'm super happy to be on your show. I always try to be positive because I think that there's too much negativity in the world, and we should all just sing more and smile more and imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer.
Oh, you're a dreamer, all right. Honey, wake up. It's all about the money now. Ratings, followers, content. Now, you've got the voice, I'll give you that. But if you want to get ahead, you need to toughen up. Dude, you know what this means.
Time for the tough guy machine.
That's right, time for the tough guy machine. Plug it in, dude.
This plug has three prongs. Where do I put the big one?
Dude, seriously, you just hold it, line up the big prong, and just let me do it. Tough guy machine Angus, are you there?
Suck it up, you numpty.
He's working all right.
What idiot are we insulting today?
Oh, that would be me, tough guy machine. I'm just always so positive I annoy people.
Very true.
Oh, tough guy machine, what shall I do?
Throw a blindfold, you numpty.
I don't know how to do that. Can you show me?
He's being sarcastic.
Oh, that makes me sad. When I'm sad, I sing. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes. Snowflakes that stay on my nose.
Stop singing! Ugh! I cannot take one more minute of that noise. Next caller. Please state your name, your problem, why I should care, and what you expect me to do about it.
This is Sellett, your corporate lawyer. Don't hang up. It's not about you. It's me. I can't take it anymore. I'm afraid I'm going soft. I need the tough guy machine to give me some advice. Get my edge back.
A lawyer going soft.
Indeed, a sure sign of the end times.
Well, I thought that was impossible.
Tough guy, can you help him out? He's having some performance anxiety. The $20 million lawsuit is too big for him.
$20 million? Ha! That's nothing compared to what the corporation has. Suck it up, ya wee milk-drinkin's warm-eyed plumpst!
Tough guy, can you get a little tougher? After all, this is a lawyer who has been defending me for 10 years.
I see your point. I'll get tougher. After all, I'm a tough guy. Like it really rough guy. Just always so puff guy.
Stop singing that song without paying royalties. We got sued last year and...
You sure do get sued a lot. No wonder your lawyer has gone soft.
Would everyone please stop talking?
Whoa. Attitude much?
What a diva. Is she always like this?
You have no idea. Last year alone, she cost us... Hang on while I calculate the damage.
Oh, just breathe. It's all gonna work out.
That's what I always say. Just be positive. So I'm just a sweet gal, really like it nice gal, just always so fluff gal.
We interrupt this broadcast to publish some painful truths.
Oh, good. Now we're getting somewhere.
Cease speaking at once. You are...
A blithering idiot?
You have been hacked by Hack It. We have broken up your racket, reached into your jacket, retracted your packet, and in your sins, we are Stack It.
Cool.
Lawyer Sell It.
Yes, Your Majesty?
I was going to sentence you to share a prison cell with Giuliani.
Oh, no, Your Worshipfulness. Please, not that.
But you are sentenced to time served in this putrid podcast of pod mockery and pestilence.
Oh, thank you, Your Magnificence. You are most wise.
Grow a spine, you mollusk.
Who are you, and why are you hacking my show?
You will be silenced, erased, mummified.
You can't do that. I have rights. Hey, what happened?
Whoa, the chair just opened up and clamped cuffs on her?
The chair has a hold of me. The chair has a hold of me. Someone help me.
Someone ought to do something.
I'm not touching that. You touch it.
I'm not touching it.
Hey, help me. Come on.
Someone should have done that a long time ago.
Your next tough guy machine. You've been hacked. There. Now you're improved.
I don't feel anything.
That's because you're a box of bolts.
He sounds the same. I love your accent.
So do I. That's why I kept it. He's still a tough guy machine. Programming has been removed.
So, what are you saying? He's... a nice tough guy machine now?
Exactly. No more insults. Just good conversation with a lively Scotsman.
I've always wanted to talk to a handsome Scotsman.
Not handsome, he's...
Hey, Angus, who are you wearing?
I'm wearing a dress Stuart plaid consisting of a white background with red, black, and green stripes. Of course, if you prefer, I could change into a popular blue and green night watch plaid.
Would you read me a story in your beautiful voice, Angus? Maybe read The Princess Bride?
As you wish.
The tough guy machines had been hacked, Their insult modules had been replaced with more sophisticated programming. As the machines grew in popularity, over time their subroutines continued to be upgraded. One thing that was never changed was their ability to speak in that beautiful Scottish accent.
It's evening, around 7 p.m. A group of four people sit around a table set with snacks, a variety of chips, popcorn, sodas. Each player has a variety of dice in front of them. Travis's dice are all different types. Quinn has four different sets of dice, all full sets. She has a notebook and a fancy fountain pen that writes with purple ink. Travis cracks open a monster, chugs a few seconds, and belches. The sound of dice rolling can be heard in the background.
Quinn, it doesn't matter what dice you use. It's all chance anyway.
Yes, it does. See? Two nat ones in a row. This one is cursed.
Just get to the recap already. I want to play some Durander.
Fine. Okay, so last week, we learned we all needed to get to the Canorg Citadel.
Canorg.
Ugh. To investigate why the Goliath were all going mad. Unfortunately, Silas said something in a very Silas way that made the city council quite miffed. Astrid sensed that they had wanted to follow up with us in a martial way, so we managed to sneak out of town by traveling through the Dwarven Ruins, where there was an ambush of intellect devourers waiting for us. We figured out why the Goliath were acting weird. One of the devourers nearly took over Felix. It missed its role by one. And we managed to beat them because I cast Protection from Evil and Good on the party. Bird Mommy Raven Queen showed up, said some stuff about fate, disappeared with us having more questions than usual. Silas fell asleep, as Silas does.
Right. So you're all sitting around camp. Night is starting to fall, and the air bites with an eerie chill that brings a sense of foreboding. Things are not right. They've not been right for some time, and you start to realize that all the strange occurrences that you've been experiencing have not been by chance. Perhaps the Raven Queen wasn't exaggerating when she said you were inexorably linked to the unraveling of worlds. Or perhaps she was just trying to motivate you because she knew you were her best shot. So what do you do?
Felix pulls out a bottle of whiskey and he takes a swig. I look over at Astrid and hold out the bottle. You want some?
Blast it! Why not? It's been a day. I take a couple sips and pass it back to Felix.
You seem to be having a lot of those. I swig and extend my arm back over to Astrid. You think there's anything to what Mommy Bird has been spewing?
I hang on to the bottle as I look over at Felix with my eyebrow raised. She just left us, and you know she's probably spying on us in the trees as a raven. Do you really want her to hear you calling her Bird Mommy?
You hear the distinctive sound of a raven's "Grah!" from a distance.
Madame GM, can I tell which direction the sound is coming from?
Roll perception.
17?
It's coming from the direction of the west, somewhere in the trees about 20 yards or so.
I turn my head to the trees and say a little louder, I couldn't give a flump's fart if she hears me. We're doing her a favor. Besides, you heard Bird Mommy. She needs us. She didn't say much. She never does, but she told us a lot. All that garbage about fate. She has no power here. She can't directly change fate, but we can. That means we can also tell her to kiss our keisters.
You can? I'm bound to her no matter what. I pass the bottle back.
Well, we now have a bargaining chip. She wants you to do her bidding. She needs to release you from the bargain. Your deal wasn't to help her or even Ulfric.
She could have just asked. If it was an end-of-the-world scenario, I would have just said yes.
Would you have, though?
I sigh. I think I would have. I don't know. You have a point. She was, is, everything Chant of Enlightenment considers an abomination. I pause, thinking for a moment. Well, she could have made it a tit-for-tat deal. She helps me take them down. I help her save the world.
I drink. What's your deal, anyways?
I take in a sharp breath.
for the knowledge of how to take down the Chantry. I gave up all knowledge before I came to the Chantry. For this purpose, I give up any others for the strength and power to do it. I give up my strength to live beyond my purpose. I get this one chance. I die as soon as I have this fight, win or lose, to inspire hope in others. I give up hope for myself. Any dreams or desires I had before, too bad. I drink.
All of that just to get your attention seems a bit overkill.
Not overkill. She made sure I do whatever she wants. Notice how she keeps dangling those morsels of fate that one was may again to be restored. She's holding it over my head. I'm stuck.
You know how many bargains I've made? Many. And if it's one thing I've learned, it's that you can always renegotiate the terms of a deal. We are the ones with the power to fix what she can't. And your deal has nothing to do with her purpose.
So what was all of that she was talking about when you mentioned your ambitions? She said many have tried, but few have ever succeeded.
Felix winces and growls a curse under his breath.
As you know, King Avnar is aging, and now he's going mad. His father made me a knight out of the debt he owed me for saving his son's hide. He and I fought together at the Battle of Anguish, and we became friends. Avnar's son, unfortunately, takes after his grandfather. I fear the elves may find themselves in a much more dire situation come the king's passing. Right now, the elves in the cities are living in relative peace, and I will do what needs to be done to make sure it stays that way.
Ooh. Felix is hiding something. Is Felix hiding something?
I don't know. Want to roll insight on that?
Ha! Natural 18, BB. Goddess, you want to be king! You're going to usurp the throne!
I don't want to be king. I want someone to actually do something about the mistreatment of the elves. And if I have to be that person, so be it.
I don't disagree that something needs to be done. It's gone on too long. The Fae Plague was hundreds of years ago, and even then, the release of that magic wasn't because of elves. It was because of a few scholars got in over their heads. Look, in a month, we've been dealing with this. She gestures around. I have not known you to be power-hungry or rash. I trust you. I'm leading one insurrection against a massive power system. What's another?
Ha! You say that like it's a pastime. But who am I to turn down an offer from a skilled spearman as you? You shall have my sword for your battle. And for what it's worth, it will be an honor fighting with you. There's no one I'd rather have beside me.
I look up at him with a softer gaze than usual, seeing him more for the person he is instead of the legend I grew up with. I smile and nod toward the bottle. A toast to our new alliance?
The corners of Felix's mouth turn up in what might be the hint of a smile. He takes a swig and holds the bottle out.
To our alliance.
Now kiss.
Ew! No!
Hey, what's wrong with Felix? He's really pretty. You don't want some of that?
You know Astrid is still heartbroken. And Felix is old enough to be her great-great-grandfather.
As dark falls, the air takes on this otherworldly chill, even more biting than earlier. It starts off quiet, and then Felix, with your passive perception, you hear the sound of footsteps approaching from all around. As the source approaches, you all, except for you, Silas, since you fell asleep, hear them chittering. Finally catch a glimpse of the advancing figures in the shadows. They're small, some no higher than your hip, their skin with a death-like pallor. One shrieks, a cry that seems to pierce your skull, and it feels like daggers in your ears. Silas, You wake up. I need you to roll constitution to see how quickly you come to your senses. All right, everyone, roll for initiative.
The scene opens with ominous synthesizer music, followed by a loud click of a tape recorder.
Captain's log, log date March 14th. It is currently 8:15 Eastern Daylight Time on Earth.
Yo, yeoman.
Field Engineer Swain and I have been immobilized by a still unidentified organism that earlier...
Yeoman.
What?
Question. If we ever get out of this gross purple crud, do you think I might have a shot with Riley?
Captain Yeoman stops the recording.
Swain, do you mind? I'm trying to record our final moments.
Because I never noticed until now, but remember when you were begging them to let us back onto the ship? And they said over the intercom that was too dangerous since we'd come into contact with unidentified alien fauna.
Yes, I remember. What's your point?
I never noticed how pleasant their voice is over the line. I don't know why, but I've always been a sucker for someone with a nice phone voice, you know?
First of all, it's Captain Yeoman now. And secondly, I remember begging them to let us in because you had half your spacesuit dissolved by some corrosive enzyme.
My Kennedy shirt still made it out in one piece, though. Told you this thing was good luck.
Oh, yes. That's the real silver lining in this whole mess, that in 1,000 years from now, when some future advanced civilization finds our lifeless corpses suspended in agony like human mosquitoes in amber, that they get to puzzle over what the dead Kennedy's logo was supposed to mean. Now, can you please let me finish recording my final thoughts? Who knows how much time we have before that thing comes back to eat us.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
Captain Yeoman takes a moment to gather themselves. And starts the recording again.
Captain's log, log date March 14th. It's currently 8:20.
You know, we don't know if this thing actually wants to eat us, Captain.
Would you please stop talking already?
I'm just exploring the possibilities. Like maybe encasing us in purple mucus is its way of communicating with us. Who knows? Maybe being suspended from a wall is the highest honor where this thing comes from.
Are you trying to upset me right now?
Sorry, Cap, just trying to lighten the mood. You gotta stay positive. Besides, you've been playing with that new toy ever since the suits back on Earth gave it to you.
I am required to document any deviations to our charted course. And I'd say being hung upside down by an 8-foot-long slimy monster with a second slimy monster coming out of its face counts as a deviation of the entire consequences.
Sharded.
Shut up, you incompetent space case.
Captain Yeoman drops the tape recorder.
No!
Good riddance. This new title's really gotten to your head, Yeoman.
What did you just say to me?
You heard me. That's the second time today you let your duties as captain stress you out so much that you end up making dumb decisions. After all, you were the one that decided to put your face directly in front of that strange, pulsating egg sac thing.
I was bending at the knee in compliance with company safety procedures. What, you wanted me to risk throwing my back out on a strange alien planet? Besides, it was your idea to bring that evil thing back with us.
Yeah, only because we were offered a bonus by the new corporate overlords to bring back any undiscovered life forms. You know they don't pay us enough as it is. Besides, the reason my suit dissolved is because I was helping you get that Cthulhu-looking crab monster off your face. Should I have just let that mollusk poke a hole in your head and release some of the excess tension on your brain?
You're always bad-mouthing the company. They've been nothing but nice to me. Besides, we're still technically independent. Nothing has actually changed, except now we have consistent, reliable work.
Yeah, independent. Except we can't take jobs from anyone else. We gotta wear dumb uniforms. The only crew member that gets health insurance is you. And you can't even blow your nose without narrating it into that dumb box. Honestly, you walk around talking to Hannah like you're William Shatner recording some obnoxious spoken word album or something.
Maybe they would have offered you a full-time position if you weren't constantly sneaking out of cryo sleep to play cards. Maybe you'd have a company insurance if you hadn't broken company equipment throwing a zero-G Zima party on the clock. Maybe you wouldn't resent my success if you had made better choices and been less of a...
What? Say what you're gonna say.
At that moment, the mechanical door to the corridor opens. A hulking insect-like creature enters the room, dragging a man behind them.
No, they got Stew.
The creature precedes the coat science officer Stuart Atlas in the same unpleasant purple substance and suspends them from yet another corner of the room before creeping through a nearby vent on the ceiling.
Oh, his mouth has been covered. I'm so sorry this happened to you, Stu.
Perfect timing, Stu. Captain Yeoman was just about to call me a loser.
I was not going to say... Swain, I don't think you're a loser. I just wish... We're in our 30s now, Swain. It's time to...
What? Grow up? Don't act like you weren't at that Zima party. I feel like I don't even know you anymore. I get it. Maybe I go overboard sometimes. I just feel like I don't know how to make friends as an adult anymore. And maybe I go overboard with the partying because I'm trying to hang on to the good times, you know, from before. From before everyone had left, you know. You and me and Riley are the only ones left from the old crew, and now you and I barely talk. It's not like I can make new friends. I spent my whole life in cryosleep, always just moving on to the next job.
Look, if it makes you feel any better, Swain, I hate being captain. I only get paid slightly more, and now I have all of these... responsibilities, and I don't think I can handle them. I feel like a fraud, Swain. Maybe that's why I'm always so hard on you, because I'm looking for someone else to take my insecurities out on, and now we're gonna die here, because I was so concerned with keeping a job I don't even like. Oh, Swain, I've been a terrible friend.
It's okay. I understand. You deserve better, Captain.
You're my best friend, Swain. And I killed us.
I love you, yo.
I love you, too.
The door opens once more, and the horrible alien monstrosity enters.
I guess this is it.
At least we got a chance to talk one more time. It was an honor to have you as a friend. I don't have any regrets.
A person suddenly rushes into the room, leaping in front of the two helpless crew members. Riley points a flamethrower at the approaching monster.
Back off, ugly!
Riley!
Excellent work, field engineer Riley! I'll be sure to note your heroism in my next report. Who knows? Maybe the company will give you a bonus for your dedication.
Sure, Captain.
Riley frees the two of them from the calcified ooze.
Hey, Riley, that was really impressive. When we're back on Earth, maybe I could thank you by taking you...
Absolutely not. For this entire mission, the two of you have been incredibly thoughtless and immature. Lucky for you, I have experience with this type of situation.
Besides, we haven't escaped yet.
End of play. Hey, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. The performers tonight have been Olivia Devora, April Pironi, Melissa Johnson, Marta Napoleone, John Hartwell, and Sean Maddie. The first play of the night, Bad Advice, was written and narrated by Veronica White, with the character of the Tough Guy Machine being originally written by David English. Our second play of the night, Tabletop Tales, was written and narrated by Melissa Johnson. And our final story, entitled Performance Review, was written and narrated by John Hartwell. And that's all been here at 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh.
Into WRCT Pittsburgh. After the announcements, it'll be time for an hour of bluegrass on the Black Diamond Show. Y'all stay tuned.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Did you know that Lyme disease is the most prevalent tick-borne illness, with about 220,000 new cases occurring each year? Believe it or not, you can test negative for Lyme and still be infected. Many victims of Lyme report never seeing a bullseye rash, and it can be very difficult to diagnose because it mimics other illnesses, such as multiple sclerosis, ALS, and Alzheimer's. To learn more, go to www.LymeDiseaseAssociation.org.
Attic Records joins you in supporting WRCT. Attic Records, located in Millvale, is open 7 days a week, providing new and used records and CDs, from metal to reggae, hip-hop to doo-wop, and all stops in between. Attic Records has the hottest new releases and all the older music you want. Family-owned and operated, Attic Records pays for quality used records and CDs with no collection too big or too small. You can visit Attic Records today or call them at 412-821-8484 and get the music you need. If you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, please email pr@wrct.org for more info about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. Tune into the Saturday Light Brigade, where host Larry Berger brings you acoustic music, puzzles, interviews, and live performances weekly on the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on WRCT Pittsburgh. Do you remember what Top 40 radio sounded like in the 1970s? We don't, but Jay Thurber might. Say okay, Gen Xer, and tune in to Radio 9 from 12 to 3 p.m. Saturdays for your mix of oldies, newies, and snark, here on Independent Freeform Radio, 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. Hello, everybody. I'm Mando Richard, welcoming you to the Black Diamond Show for an hour of bluegrass music. But say we just get things started right away. I'll let the announcer at the 1959 Newport Folk Festival tell you who's going to be up first. You'll love it.
The great banjo picker with Hilo Brown and the Timberliners, Earl Strutt.
Sitting on his mama's knee, he picked up a hammer and a little piece of steel. This hammer's gonna be the death of me, Lord, Lord. This hammer's gonna be the death of me.
Mr. Johnny's driven up on up. He looked down his highway side. Well, the bottle was so cold, Johnny was so small. He laid his hammer down and cried, Lord, Lord. He laid his hammer down and cried.
Henry said to his captain, "You know I'm a Tennessee man. Before I will let the steamroad beat me, I'll die with my hammer in my hand, Lord, Lord. I'll die with my hammer in my hand."
Mr. John Henry Shaker, I'll be here. I breathe as mountains cave in. Oh, John Henry said to Shaker, "Good boy, that's only my hammer pulling wind, Lord. That's only my hammer pulling wind." John Henry loved a little woman, her name was Polly Ann. But Johnny got sick and had to go to bed. Polly drew the steel like a man, Lord, Lord. Polly drew the steel like a man. Mr. John Henry said to Shaker, "Said, son, I guess you'd better pray. For if I should miss this little piece of steel, tomorrow's gonna be your birthday. Tomorrow's gonna be your birthday."
I've been to the doctor, he says I'm all right. I know he's lying, I'm losing my sight. He should have examined the eyes of my mind.
20/20 vision and walking around blind.
Since she's gone and left me, I feel so alone. I carry a heart that is heavy as stone. I knew that she cheated, I knew all the time.
20/20 vision and walking round blind.
With my eyes wide open, I lay in my bed. If it wasn't for dying, I wish I was dead. But this is my punishment, death is too kind.
20/20 vision and walking round blind.
You just couldn't know her the way that I do. You say that she's wicked and maybe it's true. But one thing I do know, she's no longer mine.
20/20 vision and walking round blind.
I've lost her, oh, what will I do? I bet you're not happy if she's there with you. The eyes of your heart will have trouble like mine.
20/20 vision and walking round blind. 20/20 vision and walking round blind.
Jesse James was a lad who robbed many men. He stopped the Glendale train, took from the rich and he gave to the poor. He'd a heart, a hand, and a brain.
Jesse had a life, and more for his life, the children they were bred. Was that dirty little coward who shot Mr. Howard and laid poor Jesse in his grave?
It was on a Wednesday night when the moon was shining bright. Stopped the Glendale train. People, they did say, for many miles away. It was robbed by Frank and Jesse James.
Jesse had a wife and mourned for his life. The children they were bred. Was a dirty little coward who shot Mr. Howard and laid poor Jesse in his grave.
Was Robert Ford, that dirty little coward. I wonder how he feels. For he ate Jesse's bread and he slept in Jesse's bed and he laid poor Jesse in his grave.
Jesse had a wife and mourned for his life. The children they were bred. Was that dirty little coward who shot Mr. Howard and laid poor Jesse in his grave.
It was on a Saturday night when Jesse was at home talking to his family bread. Robert Ford came along like a thief in the night and he laid poor Jesse in his grave.
Jesse had a wife to mourn for his life. The children they were bred. Was that dirty little coward who shot Mr. Howard and laid poor Jesse in his grave.
While you listen to Tom Neill's Banjo Land, that's the name of the record and the name of the song. It came out in 2013. Anyway, while you're listening, let me tell you about those three songs you just heard from the classic vault of bluegrass music at the beginning of the set. Earl Scruggs, Hilo Brown, and the Timberliners. Gave you John Henry from the 1959 Newport Folk Festival. Hilo Brown and the Timberliners were sort of Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs and the Foggy Mountain Boys shadow band. That is, if the Foggy Mountain Boys couldn't take a gig, why, that'd send the Timberliners. Then we heard, going back to 1956, Jimmy Martin, the Osborne Brothers, doing 2020 Vision. And the last thing in the set was the Old Country Gentleman from their first recording in 1960, Country Songs Old and New. Charlie Waller doing the lead singing on Jesse James. This next set's got three newer songs in it. I think you will like them. First one's from Kenny and Amanda Smith. Thanks for listening to the Black Diamond Show.
Forsake me, the rain can't touch me, but can I touch the rain?
A letter from your son. Well, I think my city days are done, Mama. And it ain't been 3 weeks since I came. Hey, Mama, I do remember what you said. Say your prayers before you go to bed, son. And remember, city women ain't the same. I'm like a John Deere tractor in a half-acre field, trying to plow fertile where the soil is made of steel. Boy, I wish I was home, where the bluegrass is growing and the sweet country girls don't complain. Mama, so much perfume I thought I'd drown. And the Lord didn't seem to be nowhere around. Hey, I felt like a flower from the vine. Oh, she was pretty, Lord knows. Thought that she would bring me joy. She laughed, she called me country boy, boy. And after she had been so kind, I'm like a John Deere tractor in a half-acre field, trying to plow a furrow where the soil is made of steel. Oh, I wish I was home on where the bluegrass is growing and the firelight shimmers and shines.
Barbershop, State Street, the Virginia side. I walked in hand with Pa, 5 years old and terrified. Mr. Jeans smiled at me, helped me up into the chair. In the mirror, I could see an old rough fiddle hanging.
My gaze said that's a tale I'd like to tell, of a young man who came in one day with a fiddle and a dream to sell.
He tried to live out on the road, thought music was where he belonged. Well, it broke his heart and broke his soul, made him sing a different song.
Fiddle up high, fiddle down low, where I go.
I'd fiddle until my dying day, if I could make a life on a fiddler's pay.
He sat in this very chair, scared of what his folks would say. Hope was gone, his pockets bare. They warned him it would end this way.
He returned to start anew. No money for shave and trim. He asked, would this fiddle do? Said it wasn't any use to him.
Fiddle up high, fiddle down low, fiddle most everywhere I go.
I'd fiddle until my dying. Fiddler's pay.
Swept the floor, spun me around and said, you're done. I begged him to tell me more, what happened to the wayward son.
Turns out it was Mr. Gene, hung his fiddle up that day. Now I'm living out his dream, because he taught me how to play.
Fiddle up high, everywhere I go.
Gonna fiddle until my dying day, if I can make a life on a fiddler's pay.
Japanese mandolinist Akira Otsuka put out a record in 2012 called First Tier. And from that, you're listening to Time for New Green. And that's what I'll use as the bed as I tell you about that little set of music. Back at the beginning of the set, Kenny and Amanda Smith sang Wherefore and Why from their 2016 record, Unbound. And then from 2005, we heard Larry Sparks, helped out by Alison Krauss and Dan Tominski, doing John Deere Tractor. And that was from Larry Sparks' record, 40, to celebrate 40 years in the business, and he's still going strong. Then, going back to 2020, you heard something from Becky Buller and a cast of, why, it seems like dozens, The Barber's Fiddle. This is from her album Distance and Time, which, as I said, came out in 2020. And listen to all these people on it. Jason Carter, Katy Penn, Sam Bush, Lori Lewis, and Sean Camp. They were the guest vocalists. And the fiddle solos were from Laura Orshaw, Michael Cleveland, Stuart Duncan, Jason Carter, Deanie Richardson, Johnny Warren, and Sam Bush. The trio fiddles under the vocals were Becky Buller, Dan Boner, and Nate Lee. And the gang fiddles included everybody, plus Lori Lewis and Bronwyn Keith Hines and Jason Berry, Sean Camp, Katy Penn, Fred Carpenter, Tyler Endel, and Brian Christensen. And her basic band is, of course, Becky Buller, Ned Lubracki, Dan Harden, Nate Lee, and Dan Boner. Wow. Let's go back to 1970 and hear the very first bluegrass version of Manfred Mann's Fox.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're fierce. You take care of business and don't hold back. Taking care of your health shouldn't be any different. You know when something's off. Don't ignore symptoms like fatigue, joint pain, and rashes. Listen to your body. It could be lupus. We're here to help you take control. Learn how at BeFierceTakeControl.org. Brought to you by the Lupus Foundation of America and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
I've got a message, message. 나 지금 심심해란 말이도 왜 손이 바빠 바빠 대화가 끊기지 않게
hey, boy, hey, yeah. 마주가고 싶은 너에게 가로 세로처럼 취향을 말해줘 널 알아가게 마음과 마음이 닿게 손과 손이 닿게 쉬다가도 되는 나의 품에 oh, oh, oh. 오늘 네 옆자리 나 너를 웃게 해줄 사람 나 나 나
기분이 그추워 나 나 나 모든 게 난 궁금해 오해요 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 오해요
자꾸 실없이 웃음이 나 빅 빅 천천히 줄어가는 우리의 꼴리 Oh. 걸어갔던 내 맘이 oh. 조금 답답한
하지만 참는 자기의 복이 있잖아. 자연스레 시작해 서로에 대한 얘기 어쩌면 어찌란 얘기들까지도 모든 길은 열어둬 선은 지원해줘 짓궂어도 못해 이대로 좋잖아
오늘 이 옆자리 나나나 널 웃게 해줄 사람 나 조금씩 마음을 풀어놔도 돼 알고 싶어져 알고 싶어져 너의 모든 게 다 사소하더라도 사소하더라도 알려줘 네 모든 걸
Action.
오늘 네 옆자리 나 나 나 널 웃게 해줄 사람 나
Give me courage to face the fight. Give me strength, for there are mountains to climb. Teach me patience for this rugged road.
Hey, this is Nadine Sutherland. You're listening to One to One with Kevin Amos on